reading to you from Psalms 66 chapter and the 16th verse. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach. And I've been trying to share Christ ever since. Oh, I've made a lot of mistakes, as every Christian do. And I know when you do things like that, you have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, forgive me. And you know he will. When you make a mistake, that don't mean you're all over. That means that you got to go back and tell him what you did. Well, listen, friends, I want you to pray for my wife. She was in the hospital the other day. Heart or stroke or whatever. We don't know exactly what it is, but I got her home now, and I'm so glad that she's home. Oh, friends, we're going through some spiritual tests. I mean to tell you, but every Christian has to go through them. I do appreciate your prayers. Oh, believe me, I do. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? You know, friends, I've labeled this message tonight spiritual testing. And you say, well, I wonder why. Well, I guess it's because we really have been going through it this past 2 or 3 months, with me being in the hospital, my wife being in the hospital, and 2 transmissions going out and things like that. But friends, listen, we're not in this alone. The Lord said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Why do we go through spiritual testing? Well, to see what fibers were made of. I told you that I was in the Navy for 4 years during World War II. And I remember going to San Diego, and it was hot. Oh, my, was it hot in August. And, boy, the things that they put us through, any Army guy, any Navy guy, any Marine guy, or that's been in the service, knows boot camp is no fun. But it's a training place. It's a place to find out what kind of steel we're made out of. And I remember one day I was so homesick and so discouraged, and I got my little Blue Jackets manual, and I sat in the shade of one of the barracks, and I started reading it. And it says, Sailor, are you discouraged? Wow, that must be written for me. Yes, I was discouraged. Was I homesick? Yeah. But anyway, it went on to tell us why we had all this discipline and all these things we were going through. It says, someday it may save your life. Well, I didn't understand that. But a couple of years later, I did understand it. We were on going to the Guadalcanal. We had no escorts. We were all by ourselves, which is dangerous during World War II because of the submarines. And all of a sudden, all of our engines stopped. And then when you're out there dead in the water and sea, you got problems, unless you got some escorts. But anyway, they blew general quarters. And you know what, friends? In less than 3 minutes, from the time general quarters was sounded, everybody was on their battle stations, gun stations, lookouts, ready for battle. That would have never happened, dear friends, had we not been disciplined in boot camp. Well, the Lord is testing us every day to see how we feel about him and other things. And I read in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, the first verse. Sometimes later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I. He replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering in one of them.
Oh, I did a bad one.
Think that wasn't a scary situation? Of course it was. But you know what? The Bible said Abraham did exactly what God had told him to do. He went to Moriah. He prepared the altar and put his son on it and everything. You say, well, how could he do it? Well, he knew that someday God would take care of him, take care of his son, everything else. You see, God gave his only begotten son too. He sure did. So he wasn't doing asking Abraham more than he did of himself. But friends, Abraham was obedience. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice, believe it or not. Sometimes he tests people by leading them in difficult ways. And I read in Deuteronomy 8:2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Listen, friends, there's commands out there that we're supposed to keep. He said, you know that you're a child of God when you obey me. Well, out there in that desert, it must have been horrible. Just like our blessed servicemen and women overseas today. It's hot over there. They got all that equipment on. And they're doing it, why? For you and for me. And then there's people who turn their back on them. People who will spit on them. And even our government has let them down and don't take care of our wounded. Hey, is our government perfect? Absolutely not. Every day, beloved, we should pray for those in leadership in our country. If they're following the leadership of the Lord, they're right. But if they're not, they're wrong. And many times, they certainly have not. It must have been a terrible experience out there in that desert. It was hot lots of time they didn't have enough food, and they were short of water. But he said, I'm going to test you to know what's in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Well, don't you remember, they finally decided who's for God and who isn't. Well, a whole bunch of under 40 years old died right out there because of unbelief. Friends, listen. Do you read things in the Bible and you say, well, that don't refer to me? Or you see things in there and say, well, this don't refer to me. Everything in this Bible refers to you and me. We read in 1 Kings 3:5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Beloved, if you think that wasn't something, Solomon was a wonderful man, and he asked for wisdom. Not only did he get wisdom, he was one of the wealthiest men in that country, but in all of his splendor, guess what he did? He started after other gods. He had a concubine, and he followed those women's gods. Got him in a whole lot of trouble. Friends, you know what? Nobody is so big that you can't be humbled by God. You sure can. Listen to what it said in John 6:5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? They didn't have no 7-Elevens out there then, you know. John 6:6. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. My stars, there was 10,000 people out there. And Jesus had been preaching to them all day long. They were hungry. They needed food. God always sees that you get food. Think about it. You know, friends, I told you that one of my things that I'm going through is my blood sugar, and it just goes up and down like a yo-yo. And even the doctors don't know what to do. They put me on one of the hardest diets I've ever been on in my life. I can't eat bread. I can't eat rice, I can't eat potatoes, I can't eat this, I can't eat no fruit. Now I'm telling you, friends, you get up in the morning and think about it, what can you eat? In fact, I went through that this morning. Yes, I did. I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a nice bowl of peaches? Oh, my. Well, it's a thing, and I pray constantly, Lord, help me to take this test. Help me to stand up. My wife's going through the same thing. She was in the hospital we don't know if it was a heart attack, stroke. We don't know what it was. But boy, they put her through 1,000 tests in that hospital. And I did the same thing when I was in there. for my heart, my liver, my this and that. Well, why do they do that? To see what's wrong with you. Well, God wants to test you. You know, one of the things you say, well, Cecil, you know what I can't understand. I don't know why God isn't answering my prayers. Well, now here's the test. You need to sit down. You need to look into your life and say, well, what have I been doing that's wrong? Now, sometimes our prayers are delayed. Don't get that confused. But there's sometimes there's sin in our lives, and God wants to get rid of that sin. He wants us to confess it, turn from it. Then he will go ahead and start answering our prayers again. Well, I've had that same problem. Sometimes I've prayed and it seemed just like the prayers were against a ceiling and never got through. But, beloved, please believe me, God is a fair and just God. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're a multimillionaire or whether you got 30 cents in your pocket. He wants to know where you stand. You know, friends, you've heard me say this many times. Why do I tithe? Do I have to? No. I do it because it's a test of my heart. Where is my heart? Where your heart is where your treasures are. And I'm laying up treasures up yonder, where thieves are not going to steal in there. They're not going to enter. No, no, no. Well, then you ask, why does God permit faithful men to suffer? Listen to this. Acts 16:23. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. You know, friends, during World War II, I was a pollywog. Every sailor that don't cross the international date line is a pollywog. And boy, they put us in stocks, and they shocked us, and the things we went through. Well, Paul and them were in stocks, boy, and that jailer had beaten them. Their backs were bloody. Well, you'd think, my stars in the morning. All of a sudden, Paul said, you know, Silas, you remember that song we sang over to the temple the other day? Let's sing it. Let's praise the Lord. And that song must have been there. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Those men prayed, they sang, and they worshiped God, and they praised him. And it pleased God so much that he just had an earthquake shake those doors right off that prison. Well, you would assume that all those guys would have run out and took off. No, 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 no. They just stayed in there. Here come that jailer. He heard the earthquake, and here he come, miles an hour. And he looked in there, and they said, don't worry, we're all here. He said, he fell to his knees, and he said, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friends, you've heard the old fallacy, join our church, and you can go to heaven. Our water will get you there. Good works will get you there. And all of those things are untrue. Not one part of that is true. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that old religious ruler, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, did you know that jailer did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And then he cleaned up their wounds, and he said, good sirs, would you go with me to my home? Paul and Silas went with him to his home, and there they preached unto them Jesus, and his whole family gave their heart to Christ, and they even was obedient and followed the Lord in New Testament baptism that night. That shows me that the jailer was not a phony. He did something. After he was saved, he wanted to share. And friends, this is the thing that's bothering me. So many people claim to be Christians and will not share a word. You would think they were... Well, there's no place in the Bible for secret discipleship. There is no place in there. If you think you're going to be right with God and not say a bad thing about Jesus, you're full of prunes. What did I read today? Come and listen to all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. That is something that we are supposed to do. You know, Jeremiah said, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. You see, when you really love Jesus and born again, you can't help from sharing him. Oh, beloved, I beg of you, if you have not been witnessing, if you've not been not trying to do personal evangelism, I beg of you tonight to fall on your knees and cry out and say, oh, God, be merciful to me. Lord, endue me with power. Fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and help me to be a soul winner for Jesus. I'll guarantee you, beloved, I'll guarantee you on the authority of God, your life will never be the same. Well, then sometimes, in James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It sure does. Well, you remember when that lady was preparing to die, cooking her last meal, and that great prophet came over and said to her, make me a cake. Why, she was getting ready to die. She was obedient unto the Lord, and her son died, and even he healed his son. Listen, there's a reason, there's a rhyme for all things. Well, sometimes there's divine delays. Listen to what it says in Psalm 13:1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Then it says in Psalm 69:3, I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. And then he says in Psalm 119:82, my eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Beloved, I've told this story, but I'm going to quickly tell it again. One time, I was in serious, serious financial problems. No way out. It was insurmountable. I could not meet $5,000 worth of payments. And I was reading in Psalm where the psalmist said, I fell upon my knees and I cried out, and my God heard me. I went into my bedroom and I fell on my knees and I wept like a baby. I told God, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. All I know, I'm turning to you. I'm begging you, Lord, to stand with me. Help me through this trial. I got up off my knees. I got on the phone and I called a friend of mine. I've known him for years. He was a Vietnam veteran. And he was into drugs and God saved him. I said, Charlie, would you do me a favor today? He said, what's that, Cease? I said, would you really, really, really pray for me? He said, well, what's the problem? I said, I didn't tell you my problem. I said, I'm in need of prayer today, really hard prayer. And then he said, Cecil, is it financial? Well, I couldn't lie to him. I said, well, I guess so. How much? Oh, I said, Charlie, I didn't call to borrow money from you. I wasn't even going to tell you about it. I just wanted you to pray for me. How much? I said, $5,000. Well, listen, hang up and I'll call you back in about 15 minutes. So I hung up in 15 minutes. He called back. He says, I got a job for you to do. I said, I'm no longer in business. I'm retired. He says, I got a big roof job for you, and I'd want you to do it. I said, I can't do it. I've got no equipment. I've got nothing. I've got no crews. That's what I want you to do. I said, okay, Charlie, I'll try. The next morning, when the mail come, there was a check for $5,000. I hadn't even done the job. Well, I rounded up some equipment. I rounded up some men. We did that job in good time. After I paid off my equipment, I paid off all my material and my men, there was $5,000 extra. Friends, This is the God I'm talking about. He knows tonight that you're going through some real deep problems. He knows it could be financial, it could be spiritual, it could be your wife and family, it could be your children. It could be a number of things that you're facing. And you think there is no hope. I beg of you, go to your bedroom, fall on your knees and cry out. He's there. He'll hear you. And he'll take care of you. It's his promise. He promises, my God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus in glory. I've proved that 52 years. And we've walked by faith. We've dead been without. But we've always had Jesus to walk with us. Tonight, I wonder. You say, Cecil, I tell you what. I'm not even a Christian. Are you talking to me? Oh, yes, I'm talking to you. If you got a tugging at your heart tonight, won't you come to Jesus? And won't you tell him what you want? I'm here to help you. If I could, I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer. And oh, beloved, don't you dare pray that prayer unless you mean it. But if you're sincere, let me lead you in a sinner's prayer. And here's how it goes. Precious Heavenly Father, I confess tonight that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. Lord, I'm opening my heart and I'm inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, won't you call me at 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Oh, friends, if I can help you, don't be afraid to call. I don't know all the answers, but we can find them together. But listen, friends, I've been doing this for 40-some years on the radio, begging people to come to Jesus. I've not been a burden to you. I've asked you to pray for me. I've not asked you to send me money. I don't do that. All I'm interested in is what you do with the Lord. Won't you give me a call? 303-471-8534.
Those who saw.
It says in Psalms 48, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Dear friends, thank you for listening tonight. Your host has been a Cecil Moe. And I do ask you to pray for my wife and I that we'll be able to go to the women's prison the first of the month, because we just love that ministry. We've seen so many wonderful girls and women accept Jesus as Savior. And pray that that God will help our health. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's all we got, but He's plenty. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.